relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Perfect timing. It's the ladies' hour, starting with our warrior princess Jennifer Horne, to be continued by Jenna Ellis, attorney to President Trump, formerly now head of the National Election Integrity Alliance. And then, oh my dear, stay on this channel. The last hour of America First will be with my colleague, the sage, the man who is challenging Nancy Pelosi's nephew for the governorship of California. Yes, Larry Elder with me. Don't miss a second of any of it. But let's get an update first from somebody who's following it so closely, who I think should be part of the Larry Elder administration. Her name is Jen. Don't laugh. I'm serious. Host of The Morning Answer, The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, also CRNTalk.com, Jennifer Horne. Things are looking rather good, aren't they?
Yeah, things are looking great here in California. And the reason I giggled is because for months, I've been talking with Larry, saying, "Come on, Larry, you got to run." Like everybody in California has been on our local show, The Morning Answer in Los Angeles. I've been saying, "Larry, you got to do it when he comes on with us, usually every Friday." And he's like, "You know what, Jen? I'll tell you what. I'll be your lieutenant governor. You run for governor."
Either way. But that could be awesome. Would you like? See, for me, you are the perfect front person, the perfect communications honcho. But would you like to have like a badge as well? Would you like to be the lieutenant governor?
Well, the lieutenant governor in California is great because what he does, or what he or she does every day, is wakes up, checks a newspaper, makes sure the governor is still alive, and then goes back to bed. So it's a great position.
Right. You get a coffee, right. Put your feet up, scratch the dog,
take a nap. Right. Exactly. Gavin Newsom did it. I mean, an excellent lieutenant governor. He did nothing for 8 years before he became governor in California.
Can I ask you a question that came to me when I was thinking about doing this interview with Larry? And it. Look, I'm not a Californian. You are a Californian. How on earth, because this guy's been mayor, he's been lieutenant governor, now he's the most powerful man in California.
And he's awful.
And he's just a bloody Whig. He's just like this, he's like this pompadour. He's a nothing. He's an oxygen thief. Is it just the grin and the hair? How did he get so far?
You know, I have a couple of answers. First of all, he's very ingrained in the swamp. I mean, we don't call him Nancy Pelosi's nephew by mistake. I mean, this guy was made to be a politician in California. And so was Kamala Harris, by the way. They were on the same trajectory. They were friends. In fact, many sources that I talked to say that if Joe were not to make it through his first term and Kamala were to take the presidency, that she was going to, up until this point, slip in Gavin Newsom as the vice president. I mean, this is how close those two were. And they were on this very powerful path, very much transactional figures, right? They will do whatever it takes to get themselves elected. They'll make deals. No, you know, they can reward people that support them because we have a no bid contract situation in California. So anybody that helps out these guys ended up getting rich and rewarded. And it was, you know, it was a powerful thing. So that's number one. He was just very ingrained in the ropes of politics and had a lot of big money backers behind him because he would reward them.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two, if you meet Gavin Newsom in person, and You know my dad, Seb. And yes. For those of you who don't, he's the voice of the Larry Elder Show. If you listen to the Larry Elder Show, he does the voice. And he also
You're not
going to
give us
a
Bill Cosby story you did last time with Gavin Newsom, no?
He did not lay in my lap, no.
Okay.
But my dad had – it's very funny. My dad was at an event in Napa Valley years ago and met Gavin Newsom. And for years, my dad would say that Gavin Newsom was his favorite Democrat because Newsom met him for about a half a second, but took his card and wrote him a letter saying how great it was to meet him and if he needed anything to stay in touch.
So he's a kind of Clinton-esque smoozer, kind of.
That's it.
He works the room.
That's it. He's charismatic. And so he has the charm and he knows how to keep people, you know, so they feel important.
Yeah.
And I think people reward that kind of behavior.
What does your dad think about him now?
Totally switched. As soon as he became governor, when you are starting to miss the days of Governor Moonbeam, Jerry Brown, when Jerry Brown looks sane to you,
right?
And he does, by the way. Jerry Brown now looks sane because Gavin Newsom is probably paying off all of these deals, right? He has been completely inept as governor. The state it's really hard to live here. It's expensive, and it would be worth it if you were getting back what you put into it. But we're getting people living on the streets. We're getting businesses that were shut down for over a year and a half. Kids taken out of school. People told they couldn't go to church. I mean, it's ridiculous. While the governor lives by his own set of rules, and there is real momentum to recall Gavin Newsom. And he said this week, he said a lot of crazy things this week. But he said that this is all right-wing talking points. This is why he has to face, and I'm using a quote here because I wouldn't use this language on the radio, but he says, this is why I have to deal with the damn recall. Because of all the right-wing talking points and all of
the conservatives that have been talking
against
me. Did he say because of that damn Jennifer Horn? Is that what he said?
I would love it, right? I hope so. I hope I have that influence. But that's not it at all. And he is so underestimating the power of this recall. This isn't a Republican recall. Yes, Republicans are involved. They've signed the petition. They're working the movement. But it is involving Democrats. It's involving independents. Misreading it.
If this were a Republican instigated recall, it wouldn't have gotten any traction, Jennifer, in California.
No, because there aren't enough Republicans to overtake the Democrats. But Democrats have been disenfranchised with him, mostly because he's living by his own set of rules. It happened again.
Yes.
He pulled his kids out of summer camp. They were going to basketball camp because they were caught in a picture on social media at basketball camp without masks on. Now, he said he and his wife just weren't communicated to about this. But I would say that the parents in California are just asking Gavin Newsom for what he did 2 days ago, pulling his kid out of camp. They want the choice to decide whether their kids will be masked or not. The government took that, or the governor took that choice for his kids. Let California parents make that choice too.
So my question is, when he pulled them out of the baseball camp, did he take them to the French Laundry?
Yeah, of course, for a $15,000 dinner with wine. But this polling that's out right now.
So tell us, where is Larry?
So Larry's right at the top. But what's even more important, because it's all about question number one. Do you want to recall Gavin Newsom? It's a two-question ballot. First one, do you want to recall him? And there is such a tightening in the polls. I honestly didn't even expect this. But the LA Times and Berkeley got together. They did a poll that found 47% of California voters supported recalling Gavin Newsom. 50% oppose it. But it's a 3-point margin of error. So
this is
neck and neck right now. It's split down the middle. And you know these pollsters always oversample Democrats in the state. So I am very encouraged, and I think a lot of it had to do with the Secretary of State trying to keep Larry Elder off the ballot. And we were on the air last week together at this very time when a judge ruled in favor of Larry Elder. He couldn't have purchased better publicity. So Larry Elder, according to this survey, this same survey, is ahead of all of the other candidates, and he's got a pretty good commanding lead, actually. He's got 16% of the vote, according to this new poll. And then he's followed by John Cox and Kevin Faulkner, who are tied at 6%.
And this is the weird thing, and I love it. I mean, it's poetic justice for the Democrats that you have this system where it's one ballot that has the recall question and then all the candidates on the ballot. So with a 16% margin, or not margin, but leading with 20 other candidates, Larry could win easily.
Absolutely. All you need is really, I keep going back to about 18 to 20% of the vote. I think that's where it's really going to play out. And then get this. So in a normal election, it is very hard for a Republican to win statewide office in California. We haven't, in fact, since Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor.
Right.
So what you're going to be doing, and this is really important, and this is why it matters to get someone really good in there, like a Larry Elder, who's going to be really good at articulating things, maybe like a Kevin Kiley, who's an assemblyman who knows how things work. My vote is obviously with Larry Elder. But there's going to be about a 14-month period where a Republican in that position is going to be able to make a strong case that this is what Republicans can do for California. It's like taking a test drive. You're going to be able to communicate to California voters that this is what Republicans can do, because someone is going to have to win re-election next year. And so this is the opportunity for Republicans in the state. It's a huge there is a lot on the line here. But people are fired up. I did a big event on Friday night. 450 people. It's incredibly, I don't know, it makes you feel good that people are just tired. It's not about Democrat, Republican anymore. It's about just doing what's right to shake things up in the state that has become bogged down in swampy politics.
And as you've said so many times before on this show, what happens in California happens elsewhere is the bellwether. So guess what, guys? If you make it happen, if you go to electelder.com, if he wins, where else could we turn the ship around? Support Larry Elder. Follow this lady, Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer and The Jen and Don Show, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, at Jennifer Horn. So much more to discuss wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Stay on this channel.
This is the Salem Radio Network.
Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. I don't need talking points. I don't need a script. Why? Because I've lived it now for more than 2.5 years. But it's not just me. It's tens of thousands of Americans across the country, people like Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees were not getting a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That's a story that you should be a part of. Find out today. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for Alicia, me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. What have you got to lose except the pain? 800-500-8384. relieffactor.com.
Did make a lot of promises that we still have faith in you, and we would like to see if you have a better plan than we've been able to see. Please share it. If there's a pathway that you've got that we're not aware of, please share it, because we're losing hope here that you represent us.
I thought Susan Sarandon was an actress. If that's supposed to be a protest with a bullhorn outside AOC's office, kind of low energy, isn't it, Jennifer?
That is the lamest thing. Usually the bullhorn is supposed to be so you can shout at people. It's not like you get a bullhorn and think, Hi, AOC, could you do better, please?
I'm not really happy. If you've got a plan, we'd love to see it. But please.
You're protesting all wrong, Susan. Project, as they say in the theater.
Try harder. Project to the back, to the back.
But this just shows you how crazy this woman is. If she thinks that AOC isn't doing enough, I mean, please.
So let's
put a cork in it, AOC.
We played it earlier. AOC's latest claim that not only were they going to kill her, but they were going to rape her on January the 6th.
Right.
And after the tear-filled, unrehearsed testimonies yesterday, it's really reprehensible, isn't it, Jennifer?
You know what? Adam Schiff and Adam Kinzinger, the Adam Squared on that committee, they're better actors than Susan Sarandon is at this point.
But to have cops in uniform. But Bernie Kerik, I spoke to Bernie Kerik today. He said, I've been stabbed and shot at. I never cried when I testified in front of any political organ.
Well, this is just such a joke. It is so political. And look, I want to say this because I think it's really important for conservatives to say this. The people who breached the Capitol, that first wave of people, those people should be held accountable. That's just it. They should be held accountable. The police, and I will give them the benefit of the doubt, the Capitol Police did not know who they were dealing with, as most police officers don't. They don't know if people are coming at them with guns or knives or whatever it might be. They didn't know until after that there wasn't one single firearm used in the so-called coup or insurrection on January 6th. It was the most pathetic attempt at a coup without any firearms, if you ask me, if that's really what they were going for. That being said, the people that were asked to testify have a long history of making controversial statements online. One of the people who was testifying and crying and talking about all the racial slurs that were going on was someone who defended the people who were protesting and doing the exact same thing, by the way, destroying federal property when they were burning down courthouses and police stations, right? So we really have to stand up for an equal system of justice here. And this panel, it ain't it. It's completely insulting that you have people who say, including Adam Kinzinger, who say they see no correlation between the protests of the summer and the protests happening at the Capitol. And so
let me just give you the actual, you know, concrete information here. The Capitol officer you're talking about, he's a police officer now testifying in uniform. Mm-hmm. His name is Harry Dunn. Harry Dunn is an ardent supporter of BLM and supported their burning of Kenosha. He quoted in a tweet that is the appropriate response. Burning down Kenosha, a police officer is saying arson is good.
But see, he can be used to, because no one is going to read that, right? Everybody's going to just ignore it. The mainstream media isn't going to tell you that. What they're going to show you is a cop who is a black cop who is going to be saying that people were saying racist things to him and that he was scared for his life. They're not talking about what they said and all the racial slurs that were thrown at police officers on the streets during the summer of last year. They're not going to talk about that.
No.
And this whole panel, without any help from real Republicans who represent the heart and soul of the party, all it's doing is set up to silence you. It's there to silence Republican voters. This has nothing to do with getting to the truth. There are already way too many investigations into January 6th. I know people in California who had their homes tossed. They weren't even at the Capitol. They were at the Trump rally, and they had the FBI at their door, and they took out things like Trump posters and stickers as evidence.
Wow.
Does that sound right? Does that sound right to your life destroyed by the FBI and have them take out a Trump 2020 sticker?
It sounds like police state tactics. And I've decided I'm going to dedicate the whole hour of my show this weekend on Newsmax to this whole defund the police insanity. So it's the goal.
Until they decide to refund the police
because it
doesn't work.
Right.
Right.
It's 7 p.m. Newsmax this Sunday. It's the Gorka reality check. We're going to have Mayor Giuliani and others. You've got to watch it. Okay, let's talk about, let's continue to discuss what happened yesterday in Congress. That small individual called Ted Lieu tweeted out that he's so excited and proud to be presiding over the proceedings yesterday. And I just responded in my tweet, how come he's not testifying at the Ed Buck trial?
Love you.
I mean, seriously. I mean,
it's a great question.
So what's the latest on this murderous, homosexual, Democrat donor?
I don't know what Ted Lieu and Adam Schiff are going to do, Seb, because Ed Buck, who was a big funder of their campaigns, he is a prominent liberal activist and donor who we've talked about on this program. He killed two black men in his home after overdosing them on methamphetamine.
Yep.
And he almost killed a third. He would had the guy not had just a shot of adrenaline and ran out of an apartment because he was injected with not only meth, but he was injected with the date rape drug. And when Ed Buck tried to get him to leave, the guy who had been immobilized for 6 hours couldn't move. So Ed Buck got a power saw and started to chase him and stood over him with that power saw And finally, the man, I guess his adrenaline kicked in, and he was able to escape and call the police. This ultimately led to his arrest, which was avoided, by the way, in L.A. County because of all of the donations that Ed Buck had made. He had a lot of political protection. Well, turns out he didn't have any protection with the jury because a federal jury convicted him on two counts of meth distribution, resulting in death, as well as three other charges. And it didn't even take him too long. It was a 4-hour
really
deliberation
quick. No, but even the trial was super quick.
It was really fast. And he is facing a minimum of 20 years in prison. That's if they let the sentences run concurrently. He's 66 years old, so it's very possible this is a life sentence. The maximum that he could be assigned is a life sentence for these charges.
So what is Schiff going to do? And what's Schiff and Ted Lieu going to do when they need some money from their buddy?
They're going to have to find, I guess, a different donor or hope that he has some back channels where they can continue to funnel him cash. But is their political power going to do anything to help him? I mean, these guys have gotten so far away from Ed Buck now because they know he's toast. And this is just the tip of the swamp in L.A. County. You know, there's another guy who is facing sexual harassment and not even harassment, but even groping charges and assault charges that works in the inner circle of our mayor, Eric Garcetti. And the mayor has said he never knew that this guy, who is known to be the honorary mayor, his best friend, has been with him since the very beginning, was involved with doing these sorts of things, including kissing people, men that are surrounding him. LAPD officer came out and said that he was touched inappropriately by this person, a reporter,
okay.
Yasser Ali.
That's enough of that.
It's part of the swamp.
Part of the swamp, but at least one man is going to jail. She's Jennifer Horn. Follow her at Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer, The Jen and Don Show, crntalk.com, and AM 870, The Answer. This is America First. Next, from Jennifer Horn to Jenna Ellis.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
So I did what I promised I was going to do. Yesterday I went home. My wife was traveling, so I ordered myself a nice porterhouse. Medium well. Sorry, I'm a heathen. And I had my porterhouse with some mushrooms, with some pureed potatoes. Why? Because I can. Because I have balance of nature. No, I don't eat kale salads. It's evil. If you want to make sure you're getting the nutrients, you should. Whilst you're maybe eating some other stuff, please, please take advantage of Dr. Douglas Howard's amazing offer. He is the inventor of Balance of Nature. 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables that provide you with the nutrients of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. That means you get everything you need. It is literally health in your hand. If you're worried about your health, do it for your wife, do it for your mother, do it for your kids, do it for your grandkids. Order today, 35% off, free shipping on your first order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Balanceofnature.com. But you've got to use the promo code G-O-R-K-A. That is balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka. We have in studio, as usual, as we do every week, the host of Just the Truth. She is former attorney to President Trump. Follow her, Jenna Ellis ESQ, across social media. Jenna Ellis, we got to talk the state of election integrity, the freight train of audits, as my friend Boris calls it. But let's do a little bit of culture first. It's as if, I don't know, it's as if the Olympics isn't happening. It kind of snuck up on me. It started. Nobody watched it. It's got viewing figures that are like 33 years, the lowest they've ever seen. And there's a bit of, well, to put it mildly, wokeness, isn't there?
Yes, this is basically the woke Olympics and a lot of the snowflakes. You know, this started with Megan Rapinoe and the women's soccer team kneeling, all of these, you know, BLM gestures, and all of this is just ridiculous. The American people are tired of it. And then what happened yesterday was Simone Biles, who is, of course, the world-renowned gymnast, decides, in her own words, to stop midway through the team gymnastics event where they're going for gold. She decides to stop halfway through and claims mental health is the reason, but in her own words says, I'm not having fun anymore. And so this is for myself. And when I'm out here doing this for everyone else, it's just not fun anymore. And the thing that that makes me so just disgusted by all of this, frankly, is not that people can't have mental health issues or that that doesn't go into maybe a deeper concern that people have voiced that maybe, you know, she was disoriented during a vault. There's a legitimate reason for her stepping down. It's that the woke leftist culture is applauding her for using mental health as an excuse to be selfish and to abandon her team in the middle of this event.
Yeah, that's the most egregious thing, that it's not an individual event, it's a team event, and then she's saying, sorry, I'm not having fun.
Right. And that to me, and then people are going, oh, but she's just a child. Look at everything. I'm sorry. She's 24 years old. She's a grown woman who this is her literal job is to go to the Olympics. She's, you know, who knows what she'll do with the money that you get from, you know, my sister-in-law was pointing out that as a silver medalist, which is where the team finished, she still got a silver medal. What's she going to do with that money then? You know, is she going to donate somewhere to mental health?
Probably give it to Black Lives Matter, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, and people are just making tons of excuses that she herself didn't present. And this is such an opportunity for us to look and evaluate the culture and say, why do we have these so-called role models who are telling young Americans as athletes, it's okay to prioritize your own selfishness and leave an event in the middle of the most important thing that's going to happen to your team in 5 years and say, sorry, I have to consider myself. That is the epitome of a selfish culture.
You were born and raised in real America, though you fight in the swamp. I have to ask you, how much of this insanity, this selfish millennial wokeness, really affects America? It has no truck outside of big urban areas, does it?
Well, I think that a lot of our universities across America are infiltrating the minds of young college students, even some of my former students at Colorado Christian University, other young people that I've interacted with, they have this mentality that, you know, this sort of what I would call the boss babe mentality, that this is all about me and what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. Does it serve my pleasure? It's very narcissistic. And we've created this coddled sort of culture that says, if it's hard and you don't feel like it, then don't do it. That's okay. And quote unquote, mental health.
And it is the antithesis of any concept of service or serving that which is outside of yourself, which is really not just an American trait and how we became the greatest nation on God's earth. It is our civilizational trait. It is the Judeo-Christian trait. It is the essence of our civilization. We're talking to Jenna Ellis. Follow her, Jenna Ellis ESQ. We're going to talk election integrity here on America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends. Welcome back. We're talking to our regular guest, the champion for the truth, the host of the Just the Truth podcast, contributor to Newsmax. You can follow her at Jenna Ellis ESQ. She is the chair of the National Election Integrity Alliance. We got to talk elections. We got to talk audits. But let's first observe the climate, the environment in which we operate. Jenna, it seems it's not impossible, but the difficulty of actually getting information about what's going on and getting the legacy media to say anything that's factual, is this perhaps our largest challenge beyond getting the local authorities to do what's right? Is once we have some evidence or once we have some results, it's like a tree falling on an island where nobody's listening.
Well, and it's even worse than that, because just yesterday, Twitter suspended the top six accounts that were the audit accounts. So the official Arizona audit Twitter and the audit war room that was keeping a tally and disseminating information. It had over 50,000 followers. Twitter suddenly suspended all of the accounts. Why? Because the audits are showing results in Fulton County, Georgia alone. There are enough suspect ballots to change the outcome of the election. So now that they're finally showing this, what we've been telling people since November of 2020. Now, all of a sudden, Twitter is suspending them. So far, Instagram, the account is still up. I'm not sure currently the status of Facebook, but this just happened yesterday, and it begs the question, why would big tech be censoring some these accounts that all they're doing is reporting the findings?
So you're a very pugnacious lawyer. You've taught constitutional law. You've represented the president of the United States. Is there no legal action that can be taken with regards to this latest decision?
Well, that's where Trump's big tech lawsuit is really important. Right. And I think that, you know, depending on how these audits accounts were suspended, apparently there was no reason given other than they violated the vague, you know, terms and conditions of spamming people was their rationale. The problem, though, is that lawsuits take time. And the yes. remedy for this, it's the same thing as when I used to get articles of mine suppressed on Facebook and social media. They would come back and say 2 days later, oh, sorry, it was a glitch. Well, then the information's already out there. The news cycle is gone. Right. They've gotten their goal. So this is really frustrating. The American people shouldn't stand for it. Make sure that you go to networks like this one, you know, to listen to Salem Radio Network, to follow all of us who will get the information out there, because we deserve to get to the truth. And when big tech is suppressing just information from these audits, that should tell us that we are right over the target.
So what do our listeners, 3 million listeners across the nation, plus the video streams and everything else and the podcast, what do people need to know about recent developments, say, in the last month? What's happening? Where? What is it tending toward? And what could we expect?
Yes. So the audits in Arizona and Georgia are continuing on their tracks. Already, as I said, in Fulton County, Georgia, there are enough suspect ballots there to overturn the result in Georgia. We're close to that in Arizona. Pennsylvania is looking at their own audit. Our friend Doug Mastriano is heading up that effort. And so this is becoming a greater ball rolling to make sure that we get to these audits. What's so frustrating, of course, is that Democrats, even Joe Biden, are fighting this every step of the way. But we're in the midst of this fight, and we're still going to fight for the truth to come out. And then where we go from here is taking those results and having the state legislatures then make a finding that those certifications were not presented to Congress according to state law. Where we go from there, what the remedy is? Well, people always say, well, you know, we can't have a constitutional crisis, all these rhinos. I'm sorry, folks, we're already in a constitutional crisis. We know that the current sitting president of the United States was constitutionally installed according to the Electoral College votes, but they were based on false certifications. Where the remedy goes, that's where constitutional lawyers like myself, others on our Election Integrity Alliance board, others that I'm talking to, we're still investigating that and analyzing, okay, post January 20th, post January 6th, where can we go from here to get not just election integrity, but election justice?
You use the word false, okay? False. That the constitutionally the process was followed, but the process was based upon false information. Is it false or is it unsafe? Which is it's not the same. So, do we have evidence that it was a false process of installation, or was it unsafe that we don't know the veracity of that Electoral College vote? Can you unpack that word,
right,
false?
So the false was with reference to the actual certifications that were presented to Congress saying that this was done, this count, putting the Biden slate of delegates from, let's say, Arizona, mm-hmm. was done properly according to our law. We know for certain the Biden slate is certified. That is a representation to Congress. That is a false representation
because
we don't know that. And we also know for sure that this was so irredeemably compromised. There's no way that the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger from Georgia, for example, could go in front of Congress today and say, yes, I certify and I declare under oath that this was done according to the law.
But let's unpack that. It's false because of what? Because in a given state like Virginia, the governor unilaterally against the Constitution changed the way the election was run, or was it because the results were tallied in ways that weren't certain in their results? What is the strength of the word false in that statement?
That the results were irredeemably corrupted and that there are enough ballots that were falsely counted for Biden that either were not proper ballots, they were counted multiple times. There are a bunch of different ways, chain of custody issues, multiple different ways. So this isn't just one way.
Okay.
This is thousands and thousands of ballots that were not processed according to the law. And what we said from the very beginning, every legal vote should count and count fairly and accurately. So if you have one ballot that is a legal vote, but you scan it six times, those other five times, then... not legal votes.
Or what are the other thing? The immaculate ballots, the mailed-in ballots that have never been folded ever.
Right.
Somehow magically were mailed without being folded.
Exactly. So when we say these are falsely certified, it's saying the ballot tallies themselves were done according to state law and every ballot was legal that was counted for Biden. That is what's false.
All right, so we've got to unpack what happens next, what the various scenarios are. We're talking to Jenna Ellis. Follow her work, the Alliance's work, at AmericanGreatnessFund.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
We could do this for hours. She knows so much. She's such a fighter. We're talking about the last elections, what the options are now that the freight train of audits, as my friend Boris calls it, is trundling down the tracks. So, Jenna, let's. You're the expert. You're the chair of the National Election Integrity Alliance. Support their work. You've got to follow her at Jenna Ellis ESQ. If we find in multiple states, those battleground states where the voting magically stopped when the president was winning and then was reversed a few hours later, if we find that there's enough evidence, concrete evidence, that he would have won in those states, what happens now? This phrase of reinstatement or whatever is not going to work. Now they're floating a concept, some people decertifying those elections. It really is uncharted territory.
Yes.
What are the various scenarios, or what are the kinds of scenarios we should be thinking about?
Well, we should be thinking of what the Constitution provides for, which is impeachment, of course, on the basis that he was falsely installed. We didn't actually elect him.
But that would have to be his crime, wouldn't it? You can impeach a president for crimes he committed. But if it's his party and somebody who he had nothing to do with...
That is a very interesting question. The Supreme Court has never actually determined that phrase of what actually constitutes high crimes or misdemeanors, those types of things. And so impeachment on the basis that you're not actually the elected president, probably there does have to be a nexus to that. But... You know, look, we've had other impeachments on far less.
Because this is the thing with impeachment for me, and tell me if I'm crazy. Impeachment for me is not a judicial process. It's political.
It is. It's not meant to be, but it is.
Right. It's not a court of law. It's a Senate pretending to be
right.
a court of law.
It's quasi-judicial in nature.
Yes.
So, but that is one possible remedy.
Okay.
And certainly if the House had the guts to follow the Constitution and have a remedy
to that. If we won the House, if we won the Senate,
yes.
We could impeach him if we had the evidence.
Correct.
What other possibilities
and
are
so
out there?
And so the legislatures of each state absolutely do need to make a declaration and a resolution decertifying, because that would then put the threshold of those votes and put the onus on Congress to look and say, okay, is the Electoral Count Act proper in the manner and method in which this was done on January 6th? And if we have a false misrepresentation to Congress, then what happens? And we don't know the answer to that question. So that is the next step, is that decertification. And then can Congress, for example, call for a new election on that basis? I think that there is that possibility under Article 2, Section 1.6. I think we are in uncharted territories in a lot of different ways, because the American people, of course, can also demand that Biden and Harris resign based on this. I mean, that would be the easiest solution.
But then Nancy becomes president, right?
Well, if we take the House back in 2022. And by the way, let's get somebody better than Kevin McCarthy as speaker. But what Congress has the ability to do, though, if they set aside the Presidential Succession Act, because that under Article 2, Section 1.6, talks about how Congress can provide for a case.
Yes. So Congress has the right to say, no, the succession doesn't follow in this case.
Wow. And they can override it potentially.
So already we've got decertification, reinstatement, or Congress has to do something else. She's Janet Ellis. Follow her next, Larry Elder.